Our gospel for this day, this fourth Sunday of Advent, is the gospel response of Mary to the angel Gabriel's proclamation. I would well imagine that there were oh so many feelings and thoughts running throughout Mary. And yet this is the response inspired by the Holy Spirit, these words that perhaps you have heard before. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our forefathers." This is the word of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. As we ponder this word of God for us this day when Advent 4 transforms so quickly into Christmas Eve and our anticipation of Christmas, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the faithful response of Mary. She must have been scared out of her wits, and yet, by your gift of peace, you brought peace to her heart. Your assurance, your comfort, and you enabled her to be bold to proclaim these magnificent words that we have just heard. Lord, there are moments in each of our lives when we are frightened, moments when we are anxious, moments when we do not understand. I would well imagine that all of these feelings and thoughts accompanied Mary. Yet by faith, you led her to be the mother of the baby Jesus. By faith, you enabled her to play a very special role. Whatever the role you have designed for each of us, lead us by faith. Help us to be trusting when we are fearful. Help us to see how you keep hope alive. Help us to see how you fulfill dreams. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as I was thinking about our theme of keeping hope alive and how it is that God works to bring dreams to fulfillment, even beyond what we could ever hope or imagine, as the Bible says, I was thinking about that story that I heard just this past week about that little five-year-old boy. Did you hear the story about the five-year-old who called the police? He called and made a 911 call, and he was reporting a robbery in progress. And so the police showed up at his address only to discover him watching The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Well, they took care of the problem, and they kept his hopes alive, and his dreams weren't dashed. The Grinch didn't steal Christmas. As I thought about keeping hope alive and thought about how it is that all of us have hopes and dreams and how it is that sometimes they come true in much the manner we imagined and sometimes in way beyond manners and ways that we could ever imagine, I was thinking about our son Nathan and his wife Sarah, our daughter-in-law Sarah, and how it is that they are the parents of Remy, and you've allowed me to show a few of those pictures. You didn't really have much choice, but you've allowed me to do that. And now, because they have chosen, because of some circumstances in their life, to adopt a second child, it's my pleasure and my honor to introduce to you today Safira Charlotte Javaria Olson, who was born a week and a half ago and now has arrived home in Madison, Wisconsin from Tennessee. Little Safira is a little peanut. She weighs a little under 6 pounds, and she is just a delightful dream come true for them, keeping hope alive in a wonderful way. So thank you for indulging this proud grandpa like you had a choice, but thank you so much. As I was thinking about keeping hope alive and how it is that sometimes dreams get off track, I thought about that incident that happened near Seattle this past week, that horrific train accident. And as I listened to accounts of that, and I'm sure you've listened to some of those reports too, I heard the story of one young man who happened to be an Eagle Scout, one of the first people on the scene. And they interviewed him, and it was amazing. He was there, and his instincts and his eagle training and all that kicked in, and he rushed into harm's way to help others. He was actually working at a location helping some people right underneath one of the car trains that was dangling, and at any moment could have broken loose and crushed him. And they said, how did you do that? How could you keep doing that when you could have died? And he said, it was love that overcame my fear. Instead of focusing on fear, which I had, he said, I focused on, what if this was my brother? What if this was my sister, my family? Or what if it was me in this situation? So God allowed love to overcome my fear, and I was able to do what I did. It was love that overcame fear, were the words he used. And I thought, isn't that what God does in our lives? Isn't that what God was doing in the life of Mary, the life of Elizabeth? Wasn't it God's love that enabled Mary's fear to be overcome? When the words from Scripture are, blessed are you among women, it's not that Mary was so great. She was a humble peasant girl. It's that God did great things through a most unlikely person. That's what God desires to do in all of our lives. God's love is so much bigger than our fears. God's love is able to keep our hopes alive. God's love is able to fulfill dreams, often in ways that we never would ever comprehend, even in light of oh so many circumstances. And so this week, as I was thinking about all the stuff that must have been going on in Mary's heart and in her mind, I sat down to compose a letter that would have been a possible Christmas letter that Mary might have written. So based on Scripture, indulge with me a letter of what Mary might have written had she written a first Christmas letter. And here's how I would have imagined Mary to have written the letter. My dear Good Shepherd family and friends, well, this will be my first ever Christmas letter. In fact, it stands to reason that this will be the first Christmas letter ever written in anticipation of Christ's birth. It's been quite a year. So much has happened. Where do I begin? Last year at this time, I was so excited about my upcoming betrothal to Joseph. Our engagement had been arranged for us long ago. And then we'd finally met, and we fell in love. I had started planning my wedding day almost immediately. The betrothal made our marriage commitment official, and we were required by custom to wait 1 year for the marriage proper. I'd been so busy planning. I was so excited. I loved Joseph. I could hardly wait for the day our wedding would arrive, my dream day, to the man of my dreams. My Joseph is a carpenter. He's very good with his hands. That's one of his best things. He's an honest man. He's trustworthy, and he adores children. In fact, we've already started talking about the day when we will have children. I just know he's going to be a great father. I had started dreaming about what my wedding would be like. I'd picked out some fabric to make a beautiful wedding robe. It would be gorgeous, and I could hardly wait for that moment when Joseph would first see me in it on our wedding day. I had started to compose my guest list. My father had prepared a dowry which was sure to please Joseph. Father had arranged with a local vineyard owner to provide some of his finest wine. Mother would provide vegetables and fruit from our garden, which we were most fortunate. It had been a great growing season. And that was great because the wedding feast in our day typically lasted several days. Because of an abundant harvest, we'd have plenty for all of the guests. And then a remarkable thing happened. An angel appeared to me. I know this must be difficult for you to hear or for your pastor to read, let alone to comprehend or to believe. Trust me, it was difficult for me to comprehend as well. And yet, it's true. An angel did appear to me with an incredible message. The angel began by saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I know that must sound like bragging. Like a lot of Christmas letters that perhaps you might receive in the future. I'm only reporting to you what the angel actually said. It was hard for me to hear as well. In fact, the scripture records that I was greatly troubled by the angel's words, and I wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. I couldn't imagine being highly favored, since I was but a poor peasant girl. I worked hard. My hands were even calloused. I was obedient to my parents. I followed the laws of the Torah. I worshiped regularly, and I sought to please God in every way that I possibly could. But so did most of my friends. And yet, the angel told me that I had found favor with God. I was to be with child, and I was to give birth to this son, and we were to give him the name Jesus. He would be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom would never end. I was more perplexed than ever, since I was a virgin. But the angel told me that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and the power of the Most High would overshadow me. I would give birth to the baby, the Holy One, who was to be called the Son of God. If you're still reading or listening to this letter, you must be as awestruck as was I. I suppose that if I tell you how wonderful this son was to be, it'll probably start a tradition of parents bragging about their children's accomplishments. It will create a situation where Christmas letters are filled with all the magnificent things that children have done, like they're the greatest children ever. Nonetheless, what can I say? This child, this baby boy, was supposed to be the Messiah, at least according to the angel. Then the angel told me that Elizabeth, my relative, was also going to have a baby, which was incredible because she was so old and had been barren her whole life. The angel went on to say that with God, nothing was impossible. This was further proof. And then a most perplexing thing happened yet again. In spite of my confusion, I heard from my own lips and my own voice proclaiming, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." What was I saying? Well, I need to tell you that in the midst of all this confusion and wonder, I just had to go and see my relative Elizabeth. I had to see if this was all true. I needed to receive the wisdom of her years. Even before I reached her home, as I called out to Elizabeth, walking up the pathway to her home, when she heard my greeting, the baby inside her leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, much to my wonder, Elizabeth burst out in exclamation, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished." You need to know that my whole world had been turned topsy-turvy. What about all my wedding plans? What about Joseph? What would he think? What would my family think? What would the people of Nazareth think? What are you thinking even now? In spite of all these questions, in spite of all these reasons to panic, In spite of all these factors, which should have caused me to wonder about my sanity and my spirituality, in spite of all of this, I was instead filled with wonder and the spirit-filled grace that enabled me to proclaim, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Well, I went on to proclaim many other things, which would be well documented, and I imagine might even be put to magnificent music in the years to come. I need to tell you that Joseph has been such a sweetheart throughout this whole ordeal. It was hard on him at first. I think that he had in mind to divorce me quietly, as was his right. Actually, it could have been a whole lot worse. According to our customs, he could have had me stoned to death. Anyone pregnant outside of marriage could be executed, stoned to death. At least that's what could and sometimes actually did happen to women pregnant outside of marriage in our culture. But instead, Joseph took me to be his wife. Of course, our wedding plans all changed. It would have been natural to be distraught, to be crushed by such an abrupt change, to have my dreams dashed like that. And I know it was hard on my parents. But I was so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and the thoughts of what God had in store for the future, I couldn't help but rejoice. It wasn't only my future. It was the future of our whole community, our whole country, our whole world that was about to change. Well, I have so much more to tell. But if I keep on, I'll probably set a bad precedent for long Christmas letters. Who knows, by the year 2017, someone you know might send you a long Christmas letter that goes on and on about marriage and children's and achievements and all that kind of stuff. And yet, what I'm writing about in this first ever Christmas letter is something that will impact every family for all time. Well, it's time for me to sign off. Joseph says it's time to leave for Bethlehem. Something about a census. Just imagine me about ready to deliver this baby, and we have to travel some 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey. Most expectant women would say the timing couldn't have been worse, and yet I've learned to trust God's timing. I've learned that God has better plans than I do, even when I don't totally understand them. So what have I learned this year that I'd like to report to you in this first ever Christmas letter? I've learned to trust God's plans and God's timing. I've learned to rejoice in all things and all circumstances. I've learned even when my plans don't turn out as I had hoped and dreamed, that God has an even more magnificent plan and that God keeps hope alive. I've learned that even when I was in real trouble and my very life was in danger, God provided. What do you think you might be able to learn from my situation? Right now, it feels to me like prophecy is about to be fulfilled. It feels like the angel's words are about to become true. And my soul is magnifying the Lord through it all. More later, maybe I'll write when I get to Bethlehem, around the 25th or so. Stay tuned. I can only wonder what I'll have to write and tell you about next year at this time. One thing's for sure, it's sure to be filled with wonder. My dreams will come true. I trust that God will keep my hope alive. With love, Mary of Nazareth. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, you have ways that go beyond our imagining of keeping hope alive in the most extraordinary and sometimes the most difficult of circumstances. Help us to see that you have a dream for each of us that we will celebrate even later this day. a dream in which you sent a Savior, your Son, into our world to save us from our sins, that we might be forgiven. And when we believe in you and your promises, we, like Mary, might allow our souls to magnify the Lord, our Lord and Savior, the one who keeps hope alive. Amen.